trust in Him and allow Him to. This morning, for the past several weeks, we've been looking at Jesus' teachings in Matthew chapter 6 and first few verses of chapter 7 we looked at last week. And we're going to continue there in Matthew chapter 7. And we covered the first five verses last week. We're going to pick up there in verse 6 and a little bit here and see what we can learn from His teaching. In all of chapter 6 and basically the verse part of 7, that we've seen the importance of doing what we do in such a way that it glorifies God. Not in such a way to try to bring attention to ourselves or glorify ourselves, but to bring glory to God. Jesus mentioned several different things that are good things to do, things that we ought to be doing, while reminding us that what motivates us is the most important thing. What motivates us to do what we do is the most important thing, not so much what we do, but what motivates us to do that. Even as He taught us on how to pray, He reminded us the importance of praying not to bring attention or glory to ourselves, but to pray in such a way that it glorifies God. He mentioned several other things prior to that, giving of alms, fasting, talking about our wealth. All those are important, but the most important thing is what motivates us in those things and who we're trying to glorify when we do those things. We ought to be giving alms. We ought to be fasting time to time, and we certainly need some money, wealth, things to get by day to day. But when we put our faith in those things and we try to do those things to bring glory to ourselves, we're messing up. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12, "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased or humbled, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." So we need to humble ourselves and let God do the exalting. And I think that's what Jesus has been telling us in these scriptures. Last week we saw how Jesus taught about judging, and we found out that we're not to be the judge. We're not the judge. He is. And so we need to be careful about that. He said we need to get our own life in line, sweep around our own back door, get the log out of your own eye before you try to get the speck out of somebody else's eye. We just need to start taking care of ourselves first. Most of us have a full-time job just trying to keep ourselves sort of straightened out. Most of us haven't accomplished the straightened out part yet. But it's a full-time job for us just to do all we can to try to keep our lives in line. We don't really have time to straighten out somebody else. We need to concern ourselves with ourselves. And that's what Jesus was telling us. We also discovered that we do have an obligation to our brother and sister in Christ to hold one another accountable. We are to be accountable to one another. And so we are to warn one another in love when we see them moving in the wrong direction. James chapter 5, verse 16 tells us to confess your faults to one another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So yes, we believers do need to be accountable to one another and encourage one another. This morning I want to pick up then there. We will hopefully get on to verse 7 and following. But first I want to look briefly at the verse we skipped between 6 and where we stopped at 5, and before we pick up on 7, verse 6, which is part of the lesson on judging. Jesus said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again to rend you." Now, the Jews despised dogs and swine. Some of you know that swine are hogs. Okay, and so they were, dogs and swine were despised by the Jews because they were considered unclean. And so Jesus here is telling us that we're not to be foolish and handle the gospel of Jesus Christ carelessly. I've heard it preached a lot of times that he's talking about, you know, the Jews considered the Gentiles as dogs or swine, and he's saying not to cast your that's holy or your pearls among them, but he's not talking about the Jews or the Gentiles as a group. He is referring to, yes, Gentiles and Jews that are rebellious against the gospel, that are hard-hearted and hardened against the gospel. And there's some warning here about how we're to handle the gospel of Jesus Christ, how we're to be a witness, and the things that we need to consider in witnessing. And so he's referring here, when he mentions the dogs and the swine, he's referring to those, whether Jew or Gentile, who are hard-hearted and set on rejecting and destroying the gospel as well as the gospel messenger. We know that they're out there, don't we? They didn't just get there. They've been there for a while. Look what they did to Jesus Christ. And so we're told in Acts chapter 2, and verse 21, and again in Romans 10, verse 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever means exactly what it says. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So nowhere in God's Word do we find that a Gentile cannot be saved. So he's not talking about the Gentiles in particular when he mentions the giving that's holy to the dogs and casting your pearls before the swine. If that were the case, then you and I would be in much trouble if Gentiles were not welcome into the kingdom of God. But I'm thankful that that's not the case, that whoever calls on Him, whoever will believe that Jesus is in fact the Son of God, that He did in fact give His life to pay our sin debt, if we'll believe that, trust Him, confessing our sins and inviting Him to take control of our lives, He will save us and give us eternal life. He'll give us full and meaningful life here and now. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "I've come that you can have life and have it more abundantly." Many people are missing out on life now. They think they're having a good time when they're really not, because they've not allowed Christ to take control of their lives. And there are so many blessings that He wants to pour out on us that we deprive ourselves of when we refuse Jesus Christ and we refuse to accept Him and allow Him to have control of our life. We miss out on so many things in this life. And so we understand that whoever will trust Jesus Christ will be saved, will be blessed here and now, and spend eternity with Him in heaven. So when He tells us not to give that which is holy to the dogs or cast our pearls among the swine, what's He trying to tell us? He's telling us that not everyone we encounter will be receptive to the gospel message. You ever tried to tell somebody about Jesus Christ and they rejected you? If you've ever told many people about Jesus Christ, you have found some folks that will reject you and reject the gospel. There are some that are so hard-hearted and just anti-Christ that they not only will reject the gospel message, but they will try to destroy you and the gospel. And that's what Jesus is telling us about and warning us about here, about giving that that's holy to the dogs or casting our pearls among the swine. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to help us to discern whether a person will be receptive or not. We need to... That sounds like a good excuse just to quit witnessing, don't it? You know, he said, don't cast the pearls before the swine, or, you know, well, I'll just quit trying. You know, no, that's not the way it works. That's not what he's telling us. We need to discern whether God's leading us to witness to that particular person or not at that particular time. Sometimes it's a timing thing, and we need to work in God's time and not in our time. He tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 14 through 18, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. So here he tells us like it is. He said, it's not going to be a party, you know. He said, I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. That does not sound like the party that you sign up to go attend, right? A sheep amongst a bunch of wolves. That's not looking like something that's real playful and enjoyable, but that's what it is. When we trust Him to be our Savior and allow Him to become the Lord of our lives, that's the way it is. And so He's warning us that there are people out there that are going to try to destroy us. We need to keep some things in mind, you know, like greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You know, we need to remember those things as we go out and try to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, he said, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes that they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. So Jesus tells us over and over several times, as well as other scriptures, and that there are people out there that are hard-hearted, that are not going to hear the gospel, that they're going to reject you and reject the gospel. Some of them are going to try to do harm to you as well as the gospel. And so he's just telling us the truth. He is the truth. And so we need to hear and heed and pray and seek direction and wisdom and discernment as we go out to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So, while Jesus is telling us this. Why is Jesus telling us this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6? There's some that not only will not hear you, we need to be careful with the gospel. I have encountered some that were very, very anti-Christ. I spent about an hour and a half or longer out, right out there by that sign one night, about close to midnight when I was called because somebody was out there at the sign. Somebody stopped to see if they could help them, and they were looking for me. And I came and tried to talk to him and witness for a good long while and realized that I was wasting my time and his time because he just had a spirit of anti-Christ and wanted to try to convince me that there's no God. I'm sorry, you can't convince me of that because I know I've experienced him. And so there are some that, and I, when I was studying this, I thought about that and I thought, well, you know, I wasted a lot of time God gave me when I should have discerned early on that this is one of those that where Jesus said you don't need to be given that's holy to the dogs and casting your pearls among the swine. There's some times that you can't, you know, you're just not going to get through. And of course, sometimes what they're under the influence of influences that. But we need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit so that we know and we recognize, we can discern if that person is one that God wants us to talk to at that particular time. Yes, we need to be sharing the gospel. But we need to be able to discern and know when and who, because there are some people out there that are just, they just want to destroy, you know. They're Satan's, and what did Jesus say about Satan? He's come to steal and to kill and destroy. And there are some people out there that want to destroy you, and they want to destroy your witness, they want to destroy the gospel, and whatever. But that didn't just start, you know. We look back over in Isaiah chapter 53, just momentarily, and see what the Bible says. Beginning in verse 3, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Who was that scripture talking about? It's talking about the very same one that's telling us here in Matthew's gospel that we're going to encounter some people that are going to try to destroy us. He knows what that's like because he's experienced it. Okay? It's not something that he's telling us to do that he knows nothing about. And so whatever he tells us to do, we need to understand that he knows. He knows all. He knows everything. And so we need to be cautious and careful to discern and follow his leadership and his direction in all that we do. Even in allowing him to direct us to those people that he would have us to witness to at that particular moment, that particular time, when he opens those doors for us to be a witness. And you say, well, you know, I'll never witness to so-and-so because I know what a hardened sinner he is. Well, you need to let the Holy Spirit direct you in that, because even the hardest of criminals, when the Holy Spirit gets on just right, he can soften that hard heart. I remember a man, his name was Saul, and he went about persecuting Christians. And but when God got a hold of him, he changed his heart, didn't he? I've known other people in my life here that were hardened against God. But when God's time was right, he softened that heart, and they received the gospel message, witness, and repented of their sin, and God saved them, and they got on fire for God. You know, I think I always said it seems like some of the best warriors for Christ were the best warriors for Satan before they were saved, because they don't really care what people think. You know, you meet people that live for the devil, and they don't care that you know they live for the devil. They're going to do that. They don't really care what you think. If that person ever gets saved, they're the same way for Christ. They don't really care if you like it or not. They're going to live for the Lord, and they're going to tell folks about Jesus Christ, and they're on fire for him. We need to be on fire for God more. People need to be able to see Christ in us. And in the lives that we live, we need to live that life so that others will be able to see Christ in us and know that we are serving a living God, and that we genuinely trust him. We genuinely believe. So your gospel witness is holy and not to be kept to yourself. It's to be shared with others. How do we know that for sure? Well, Matthew, again, Jesus talking in the very last few verses of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. He said, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." This is a command. We call it the Great Commission. It's a great commandment. And it's a commandment to every believer, to every Christian, that wherever we go, we're to be witnesses for him, to be sharing the gospel with others. So do we need to just quit because things, you know, we're going to run into somebody that's a hardened sinner and they're not going to hear us? No, we don't need to quit. We just need to draw closer to Christ so that we can discern when the time's right, when that's the person we need to talk to at that particular time. We need to know. You know, and this commandment is not just to the preacher and the teachers. This commandment is to every believer, every Christian. Wherever we go, we're to be a witness for him. And it's not always a verbal witness. The more important witness actually is the life that we live. You know, when we live that life that's patterned after Christ, and people see our life and they see there's something different about that person, you know, there's some love there. There's some compassion there. There's some, that person really cares about people and about their welfare, not only eternally, but here and now, you know. And we tell people about Jesus. And so he told us in there in Matthew 7:6, there as he told us there, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us so that we're not giving what's holy to the dogs and casting valuable pearls to the swine. So we need to sense that and know what Jesus is telling us. And to be able to do that, as we move into verse 7, and we're not going to get there this morning, because I don't think I'd have many people here if we got into moving on very far in there, but I'm going to give you a little introduction on it, beginning with verse 7. When you get to verse 7, Jesus is again talking about prayer. It's pretty fitting that he's talking about prayer right after he's told us that we don't need to give that that's holy to the dogs and cast our pearls before the swine. He's telling us then we need to come back to God in prayer, and we need to be praying. We need to get in right relationship so that we can discern and know what God's will is and not go on our will, but we go on His will. And so we need to be praying and talking to Him and asking for wisdom and discernment concerning the handling of the gospel. Over in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So when we start praying, we need to believe. We need to be believers. We've got to believe that Jesus, again, is in fact the only begotten Son of God. He is our intercessor. He's the one that's seated at the right hand of God the Father today to make intercession. When I ask forgiveness or when I mess up, and he's sitting right there and he's saying, Father, that's that old Mike McVeigh again. He done messed up again. But he asked forgiveness and I paid for his forgiveness. He's forgiven. You know? That's Jesus Christ. He's our intercessor. He's our go-between. And he's there. And so we need to understand that. We need to go to Him. We need to spend time with Him. Another place in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment or discernment. We should be continually growing in love and faith, knowledge and discernment, to be able to know God's will and direction for our lives. We do that. We draw closer to Him when we spend time. We spend time in His Word. We spend time in prayer with Him. We spend time with brothers and sisters gathering together and learning together and sharing our needs and our griefs and praying together, praying for one another and confessing our sins one to another and all those things that are important that draw us closer and closer to a right relationship with Jesus Christ so that we're able then to more effectively discern God's will for our lives. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. What is he saying? He said there's so many that have never matured in the faith. Too many people, there are too many on our membership rolls. Some of them actually attend church, some of them never attend church. They're not maturing. They're still spiritual babies, if in fact they're actually been born again. They don't see the need to attend church. They don't see the need to spend time in God's Word. They don't see the need to spend time communicating with God in prayer. And they're not growing and not maturing. They still need to be fed the bottle, like that baby right there. You know, somebody's got to give that baby a bottle. That baby is not mature enough to get up and go fix his own bottle yet. Somebody got to fix it for him. There's a lot of people that are that've been professing Christians for years. They're still waiting on somebody to fix the bottle. You know, they've not matured enough to get into the Word and study God's Word and spend time with God, and allow God to speak to them and get to the point that they're able to hear the Spirit speaking to them and the direction. And a lot of it is just, you know, when you come up against a situation, if you've studied God's Word, you immediately see a red flag go up. You say, "Whoop, nope, that's not according to God's Word. I can't be a part of that," you know. But it's a sign of maturity. It's a sign of spending time with God in God's Word and communicating with Him and knowing. And so, do we need to quit trying to witness to others? Absolutely not. We need to continue to witness. As a matter of fact, we need to be witnessing more, but we need to spend time with God and to be able to discern and allow Him to give us the direction, the wisdom to know when the time's right and the individual that we need to be sharing the gospel with, so that we're not wasting the resources that God has blessed us with. Okay? People need to hear about Jesus Christ. Some of them, they're not going to hear it. You can tell them they're not going to hear it because they have closed their ears and they've hardened their hearts against the gospel, against Jesus Christ. Some of them will try to destroy you like they did Jesus. Don't stop sharing the gospel, but be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in sharing the gospel with those that God has led you to, and allow them to come to know Christ as their Savior and allow Him to become Lord of their life. We're going to talk about prayer more, but we'll pick that up next Sunday. Come back and we'll start on verse 7 where we were supposed to start today. But God wants you to spend time with Him. He wants to spend time with you, but you've got to allow it. He don't just barge in on us. He waits on the invitation. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." He don't tear the door open. He's not going to barge in. If you don't want him in there, he's not going to tear the door down. But he sure would like to come in if you'll just open the door and say, "Jesus, I'm sorry. I know I've lived a terrible life. I've done terrible things. You may have lived a good life, but you've not accepted Christ. All of us have sinned. None of us has lived a sinless life. But if you've never trusted Jesus to be your Savior, it's a simple thing. Acknowledging that He is, in fact, God's only begotten Son. He died to pay our sin debt. And He today welcomes you into the family of God. He said, whoever will call on the name of the Lord, I'll save them. So if you've never done that, I invite you to do that today. Just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to be saved. But I thank you that you, because of your mercy and grace, you're willing. You've paid the cost. And I just want to accept what you've already paid for and allow you to be my Lord and my Savior from this day forward. So, let's pray. Father, God, we just love you and we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for a place of worship where we can come in the comforts of this building and just look into your word and learn more about you and about how you want us to conduct our lives, live our lives. Lord, that we need to be obedient, humbled to you and to your will. Lord, help us to draw closer and closer to you, to be able to discern more and more what you would have us to do, where you would have us to go, who you would have us to speak to, or whatever it is that you'd have us to do. Lord, help us to draw closer and closer to you. Lord, I pray for that person today who's never trusted you to be Savior. Glad you've come, Lord, of their life. God, I pray right now, if there's one here who does not have the full assurance that when this life is over, they'll spend eternity with you in heaven, they're missing out on a great, great benefits here and now. And I pray that Holy Spirit, as Holy Spirit deals with that person, that they will, in fact, surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, confessing their sin and allowing you to have control of their life. Whatever other needs exist here today, Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak, to urge, to draw people to you. And we thank you for all of it in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Music is playing. You know your heart. You know your relationship with Jesus Christ. You know if you've ever asked Him to forgive you and save you. If you've not, I invite you to do that today. Today's the day of salvation. There'll be a better day in your life to give your heart and life to Christ than today. To begin to enjoy the benefits, the blessings that God has in store for you that He really wants to pour out on you daily, the blessings that He has for you. Maybe there are other needs. Maybe you've trusted Jesus, but you've allowed Satan to distract you and discourage you, and you're not where you need to be in your relationship with Christ. Somebody needs to come and join the church. Whatever God's laid on your heart today, just step out from where you are and come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. I'll sure pray with you. I'll share Scripture with you. I'll do everything I can to help you. But the decision, the choice, is yours this morning. I will wait just a moment. Is there anyone God's spoken to you? You need to take care of it while you're here. Thank you for being here. Don't forget, at 6 o'clock this evening, we'll be back studying in Proverbs, chapter 28, I believe, and we're going to learn more about what Solomon has to say about the way we need to be living our lives.